The first thing we mentioned was a continuation of where we left off in the last man, which was the big machlok rishon about poshut somiyad and the three other parallel sugyas, when someone agrees to accept some sort of procedure in Beis Din, either in our case, when the guy says, I won't swear, I'll pay, or in but the guy says, okay, dor li b'chai roshcha, take a neder, and then I'll give it to you. Or in Sanhedrin, daf chav dalet, and sigus accepts suli edus, or suli dayanus, or the exact parallel to us is the beginning of Hamakid, daf hey, of Metzia, daf lamadalet, where the guy says, I'll pay instead of swearing. So is that binding or not? So we saw that Rabbeinu Tam says here, at least the first version of Rabbeinu Tam, told us, no, it's not binding. Really, you can always go back on what you said. And the only reason we're poaching Osama Yad is not because then it'll be binding. We don't kick him out of Beis Din, so it'll be binding. We kick him out of Beis Din, so it'll be embarrassed to change his mind. But many other Rishonim assume that no. If you're metabolizing something on yourself in Beis Din, it really is binding. The Ramban and others, and Maskana Tosfos, and Rashi seems to say here, says that it is binding. Why is it binding? Just because I agreed to something. Let's take our case. Say, I won't swear, I'll pay. Why is it binding? So we mentioned, yeah.
Sorry. I don't know if you discussed this, but assuming that it is binding once you say it, what does
So we discussed that in the last year, meaning if it's binding once you say it, why do you have to kick him out of Beis Din, right? Why put him to some yad? It's binding. So we compared that to the Gemara in, what was it, the Kuf Yod Dalid of Bava Basra, where Kinyan ad Emas Kozerbo, where from a Kinyan Suder, the Machlok is Rabbi Rav Yosef, I quote correctly, either called Mancha Sugmosul Inyan, or called Mancha Yoshvin, which were just two different versions we showed him as what Poach Zomiyad was about. But that's because even if something is binding, you still have, while you're still holding in the Inyan, you haven't really finished saying it yet. So that's how we explain Poach Zomiyad. So the main issue we discussed was, so just as I say something, why is it binding? So without getting into possibility we mentioned last time that maybe specifically here you could say it's a binding because the nature of a Chiyuv Shvuah that you're really Chayav Mamon. You just have the option of Shvuah. Once you lose that option, you're Chayav Mamon. But if you want to look for something in all cases, whenever I agree to a change of the procedures of Beis Din in a special rule, it should be binding. Why would that be? So we had two basic possibilities. One, which we developed at great length last month, was the idea of just that maybe even though, as we said, we're brought up in kindergarten to think that in halacha nothing's binding without a ma'aseh kinyan, but maybe that's not true. We had that one radical day we mentioned last time that maybe you can actually makna a concrete object with just das and amira. But forgetting about that, there are many, many rises in Brooklyn, many Sugyan Shas, which sound like a Hischaivos, meaning just owing a debt as opposed to transferring a concrete object. A Hischaivos, as opposed to Akhnoa, could be accomplished without a Maisa, because you're not dealing with a concrete physical object, just owing an amount of something, which is an abstract notion. You can create that through an abstract speech if it has a high enough level of Nearest Das. If it has a high enough level of Nearest Das, we've brought many, many Sugyan Shas that sound that way, so that's one possibility. One possibility you could say is, if you want to say that it really is binding, once I said I'll pay, I have to pay, why do I have to pay just as I said so? The answer is, because sometimes when I say something, I don't have serious das, so it's not binding. But sometimes when I say something, I have such serious das that it becomes binding, even without a ma'aseh kinyan. And when I'm in Beis Din, I have the option of swearing or paying, and it's a very formal judicial procedure, and I know the evidence is against me, and I agree to pay, that is a high level of das, and it creates a schaivus to pay with just a deeper. Luxing just added one very, very radical example to his list of sugyos and shas, where it seems that you might be chayav to pay. You can create a hischaivus to pay with just words and a high level of das, which is in the sugya Mesach B'Kubya. They did we paskin that Mesach B'Kubya, at least we Ashkenazim Paskim Safa Lekovia is not an Asmachta, and it's Kone. So they explain, so it's not, you know, Das, but here you have very serious Das. Tom says, why do you have very serious Das? Well, because you want to win. And for you to win, he has that very serious Das to give you the money. So you have that very serious Das to give him the money, because if you want to be able to win, you have to let him, give him a chance, the possibility of winning. So, in our version of Tosos, on Sanhedrin, that was just explaining why it's not an asmachta, but Taka wears a Maisa Kinyan. So we said, you have a little table that belongs to everyone, and you put the money on the table, and that's kind of the money for everyone. There's the Maisa Kinyan. But when the Hagos, my money, quotes Tosfos, he quotes very, very radically, he's saying that you have such a high level of Das, because you want to have the chance of winning, that you even create the Hiskaivos without a Maisa Kinyan. That's pretty radical. I wouldn't have thought that was such a high level of Das or gambling. But that's a very radical example of that goes by money. This is a version of Tosos. The Gemara himself wonders at this level that maybe the Gemara's Das and the gambler is so strong. Again, even though it seems to be a bit of a chiddush metzias, but it's so strong that it creates a chayva without a ma'aseh kenyan. So far, we've seen again the possibility, like the initial opening of time here, that whatever you say you can retract, it's not binding, or it's binding because it's a hischaivas with just Dibur without a Maisa Kinyan, which is a Chiddush, but has many Rais and Shas, or the last possibility is that maybe the reason it's binding is because of Gemar Din. That's the factor which is brought up in the Gemar and in Sanhedrin and Bava Basra, that Machlog is after Gemar Din. The Gemar seems to imply that somehow it's the Gemar Din which makes it binding. Meaning, not because I, the private citizen, agreed, let's take our case, I, the private citizen, agreed, I won't swear, I'll just pay you the money, right? You're suing me, let's take the example, money missing. You say, oh, you owe $1 million. I only admit to $900,000. So we debate the other $100,000. I say, you know what, I'm not going to swear, it's just $100,000, no big deal, I'll pay. So not that, like we explained just a second ago. It's binding because as a private citizen, I have used my rights over my money to agree to owe you this money, and that's binding without a Maisa Kinyan. No, I can't do anything without a Maisa Kinyan. But the Gemara and the Bezdin, since we're in Bezdin of course has the authority to make people owe other people money. That's called Psak. Right? Every time Bezdin Paskins, they create indebtedness of one person to another person. So it's the Gemara of Bezdin, that the authority of Bezdin, that creates this new debt, this new eschaivus, and that's why I can't retract, because Bezin has the authority to make people owe other people money in the course of judgment.
What is Hadar's Baal Din?
What?
Hadar's Baal Din, simple.
So Hadar's Baal
Din.
No, if you had a case of Hadar's Baal Din in a Hanami, but in all these cases, it doesn't sound like you have a Hadar's Baal Din. It sounds like the Baal Din saying, Taka, I'm right. But I'll let you win anyway. Like in our case, Amar Hainim Shalom, it doesn't say he admits he's wrong. I think I'm right. I really don't want to be that last 100,000. But I'm such a rich guy that I'll pay the 100,000 rather than getting into the whole Indian of Shua. So it doesn't seem like they maybe could extend it without but that would be a chiddush. Something to think about. So, Lemaisa, the question is just what's the Gemar Din here? Right? What counts as Gemar Din? If you assume, like the Ramban and the Yadraman Bava Basra, that number one, that it is binding. And number two, that it's binding not because it's a Kenyan or a Eschaivus, a private Eschaivus, but it's binding because the authority vested in. So where's the Gemar Din? Let's take our case. Obviously, in the case of the Hedron, we know where the Gemar Din was. The case where he said, I'll accept Puzzle Edom or Puzzle Dayanim, well, the Gemar Din was when these Puzzle people passed it. But over here, what's the Gemar Din? I just said, you know what? Let's settle things this way, I'll pay. Or, you know, in Bavasad of Kukhov Ches, the guy said, you know what, just take a Nedr B'chai Roshcha and I'll give you the Emet. Where's the Gemar Din there? So that is a radically different formulation of the Ramban and the Yadamah. Ramban, right there in Bavasad of Kukhov Ches, says Gemar Din doesn't actually have to be bezed in Paskini in the traditional sense of the word. There are three possibilities of what can happen to Gemar Din. The Ramban says any time an issue is resolved in Bezdin, that's called Gemar Din. So if I say I won't swear, I'll pay, I have now resolved the issue in Bezdin, even though the Dayanim were just sitting there smoking cigarettes and had nothing to do with this. Once the issue is resolved in Bezdin, that's an implicit Gemar Din. Likewise, even if I say Dorli b'chai roshcha, right? I sue you for the eved, and you say no, and I say yeah, or sorry, you sue me for the eved, and I say, you know what? I'll be a nice guy. Just take a neder b'chai roshcha, very weak kind of thing, and you know, I swear on my life. People say that nowadays sometimes, or I don't even swear on my life. I take a neder on my life, and I'll give it to you. So I resolved the issue, and it's been in the context of Bezdin. That's an implicit Gemar Din. The Ramban says any resolution in Bezdin is an implicit Gemar Din. Has a very low standard for Gemar Din. But of course, classically, halachically, there are two standards for Gemar Din, two competing high standards for Gemar Din. One is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Bav, which says, what's a Gemar Din? When you say, ish ploni at achayiv, ish ploni at azakani. And two is the Gemar Din in Bava Kamadav Samaches to Samaches, which says that chayiv atalit and lo, just lashon chiyuv is not gemar din. Say ten lo is gemar din. We actually tell him to go do it, not when we tell him he should do it. When we actually tell him to go do it, this is a big machlokes. What, you know, will the real gemar din please stand up? Tosfos asked this sira in a number of places. What's the real gemar din? Is like I said, Sanhedrin, just lashon chiyuv is gemar din, or like it's in Bava Kama, chiyuv is not a gemar din. That's just thinking out loud. Say ten lo is lashon gemar din. So Tosfos in Bava Kama, and you could probably interpret Tosfos in Bava Tzir David Zion as saying this as well. It says really only say ten lo is gemar din. But chayiv atalita lo is only, what was the context that was brought, or is pulling at chayiv? It was brought in the context of pshara. You can't make a pshara after you say chayiv atalita lo. So the simplest answer is Tosfos in Bava Kama says really say ten lo is gemar din. Chayiv atalita lo is just too late to compromise because you're so close to the end. You know, it's just Natias Adin. The Din is already leaning one way. You know, so it's too late to compromise. Not fair to compromise. However, Tosfos Bava Metzia Daf Yud Zayin has a... So there, one resolution is the real Gemar Din say ten lo. The Lashon of Chayiv Atalita lo is not a Gemar Din at all. That just makes it too late to compromise because you're close to a Gemar Din. Tosfos Bava Metzia has a slightly different Lashon. He says, this is the Gemar Din Le'inyan Pshara, this is the Gemar Din Le'inyan, you know, Gzela, when it's considered to be that the object has been returned, it's no longer Gunur. So the Rav wanted to say, this ties into a whole word the Rav has in a number of contexts, the Rav loved this idea that every Din Torah has two Din Torahs within it. It's based on a Rambam. The Rambam says, I forget where, obviously, that's on Hedron L'chora, something that, like the Av and Vino, etc., can be counted for two in Paskening, but they can't sit on the bed and Paskin the case together. It's a little unclear exactly what he means. So the Rav says there's always two stages to Paskening every Shaila. There is the, you know, Platonic form of the Halacha, right? The base Medrash Halacha. Every Shaila in Bezdin is a Halachic Shaila that you don't need real people for. You could have asked it when you were learning the Gemara. And then they have to paskin the abstract chetzer shel Torah. You know, what is the ritzon habore, that if Reuben were to tie a kaf b'kaf, or Shimon were to tie a kaf b'kaf, what would the ritzon habore be for the psak to be? That's Talmud Torah. But, of course, every real-life court case also has the application to the specific case at hand. The theoretical psak halacha, and there's the particular application. You know, and if someone had to say, well, now that we know the theoretical halacha, we ascertain and we understood that Reuben did tie nikaf v'kaf and Shimon did tie nikaf v'kaf, and therefore this sif of the Shulchan Aruch is relevant here. So that's what the Rav says, that the Av and Beno and etc. can all count together when it's just voting on abstract Talmud Torah. Abstract Talmud Torah, everyone gets a vote, but when it comes to the application of a particular case, then you have formal rules of who's allowed to be a dayan, and you know, there are formal psulei dayanus. Anyway, that's what I think the Rav got this part. He applied it here, the Rav says, really, they're tzvei dinim of Gemar Din. There are two Gemar Dins. And that's what he's in the and Tosin Bob and Tzid Ap Yitzayin. There are two Gemar Dins. There's the Gemar Din of the theoretical halacha. That's Lashon Chiyot. Ish ploni at the chai, ish ploni at the zakai. Meaning, I don't care who you are, but a case like this is chayiv. And then there's the practical application. Say Tenlo, actually go do it in the real world. So because there are two aspects of Psak, there are also two aspects of Gemar Din. So according to the Rav in the end, what comes out? According to Tosfos and Bava Kama, and you would probably interpret all the Tosfos saying that, there's only one Gemar Din called Seitenlo. Chayiv Atzalit Enlo is not a Gemar Din, it's just close enough that you shouldn't compromise anymore. It's not nice to compromise. But according to the Rav, there are two types of Mardin. There are really art state dinim and Mardin. There's the Gemar Din on the theoretical base matters plane, Chepta Shel Torah plane, and then there's Gemar Din on the practical plane. Lemaisa, which of these Gemar Dins should be the one, if you say you need a real Gemar Din, not a Ramban implicit Gemar Din whenever you resolve something, like the Yad Ramah. You need an actual Gemar Din. Which Gemar Din do you need? So the Yad Ramah happens to be non-committal about this. Every time he says, Chayvat Alitelo, or maybe Tzeitenlo, maybe Chayvat Alitelo. You know, I don't think he's just saying, like, do whatever you want. I think he's saying, I'm not sure if it depends on Tzeitenlo, if it depends on Chayvat Alitelo. You know, usually it doesn't make such an upkamina, but if it actually happened, I'm not sure what I would think. So the Yad Ramah is unsure whether you would require the, you know, when does the Gemar Din take effect at the Chayvat Alitelo stage, or only at the Tzeitenlo stage.
In the case of
Dor Limchai Roshko or many of these other cases. Lachor, I think you say that in our case as well. You know, in our case, if the guy says, I don't want to swear, you know, I say, I'll give you all a million, I'll give you the extra 100,000, I don't want to swear. So, the Yad Ramah, I think, would say, I can retract until Beis Din says the actual Lashon Gemar Din. Which Lashon? Well, he's not sure. Those are the basic... those are the basic shitas. Just a few details, some things that seem to be a little chudish. So again, either, you know, Makabel, a love, the best in the fundamental of Machlokes Rishonos, Yachol Lachzer Bo, or do we say, Eino Yachol Lachzer Bo, if it's Eino Yachol Lachzer Bo, is that Mitam Kabbalas Yischaivos, Limaisa, or is that Mitam Gemar Din, authority of Beis Din, and what counts as Gemar Din? So, either just any resolution, that's the Ramban, or Chayav Atalitimo, or maybe say Tedlo. The Ramban and the Yad Ramah both right there in Bavasra, Daf Kuf. Okay. A few things which the found to be a little mechudish, which he thought just was worth pointing out, was the Yad Ramah said one strange thing in Bavasra there, which is which is when is it binding? Let's take the case of, so remember what it says in Bavasar. It says, again, Yossi claims that I owe him an Eved, and I could really get off and just say, forget it, I don't believe you at all. But I say, you know what? Dor Libachai Roshka. And, you know, just swear by your life, which again is very makel, because apashas, even if you say shvua v'lishem, is a real chalosh shvua, but not if I explicitly swear by something else. Right? When you say chay paro teitzum yizeh, everyone agrees that's not a real shvua. So even if I say chay myself, it's a little more serious than chay paro, because Yosef didn't care if paro died. I would care if myself died. But still, it's not, nothing theological there. So it's not a very common thing. So either the Gersa was Nishva v'ini yachol lachzer bo or bin Nishva v'ini yachol lachzer bo. What did the Yad Ramah say? But one thing we sort of understood is that if you said, what were the two possibilities? Either, even before the Shavua, right now it's binding, you can't retract. Even before Yossi swears, by Chai Rosho, even before he swears on his life, I can't retract. Or Vinishva, comma, in your collapsible, I have every right to retract. But once he swears, then I can't retract anymore. But everyone agrees once he swears, I can't retract anymore. That should be a punch. So what's the possibilities? You know, when do I have to give him the Eved? We thought there were two possibilities. A, as soon as I say Dorli, etc. You know, or maybe add plus maybe
And Bezdin says, if he swears, hello, right? If you say you need like Cholos Bezdin to help you, Gemara, the actual Gemara didn't help you out, or after he swears. But sort of the latest stage you'd say is, you know, either mitam eschayivos or implicit gemar din, as soon as I say dorlin kai roshcha, I can't retract, or mitam gemar bezin on their part, as soon as they say, that's the gemar, if he swears you have to pay, or the latest thing you think is that once he swears. But once he swears, we would have thought intuitively, that's the latest stage. Once he swears, of course I can't retract. Why? Because he already swore to me. He already gave me something. He did something for me. Once he does something in exchange, then it's too late. You know, I can't make a deal with you, and you give me your part, and then I retract. Right? I say, you know, water my lawn, I'll give you $50. You come water my lawn. I can't say, no, I didn't mean to give you $50. Once you did your part, I have to do my part. It's an exchange. He's giving me the shvua. I should have to give him the evet. Therefore, it's a big chiddush. The Yad Ramah seemed to say, only after he swears and Bezdin says tenlo, chayvat or tenlo, whichever it is. Meaning, he says, if Bezdin just says tenlo when he swears, then I can still retract. If he just swears, I can retract. Only if he swears and then Bezdin says tenlo, chayvat, legal, tenlo, whatever it may be, then I can't retract. That is the reason why our Luchtin found this to be very machudish, because it seems to be unfair that I can make him swear and then retract and say, ha ha, I made you swear for no reason. But that's the shita of the Yad Ramah. And he said it sounded like that was also the shita of the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis and Gimel. Because the Rambam says, after there's a Gemar Din and he paid, he can't retract. Or after he swears, after there's a Gemar Din and he swears, he can't retract. Sounds like just swearing is not enough to prevent retract, to forestall retraction. Only if he swears and there's Gemar Din. So he doesn't say explicitly, but he sounds like the Yad Ramah, that would be a big kiddush, that even after a shvua, I still have the right to retract, and I could say, I fooled you and you took a shvua, you know, for no reason.
The factor that he can retract without the Gemar Din basically.
What?
Even with the shvua.
Even with the Shavuot, he can retract until the Gemar Din. Because the only thing that makes his the Kabbalah binding is the authority of Bezdin, and it's not the authority of Bezdin until they make a Gemar Din.
But Shavuot is not a Gemir's Das.
Right, he doesn't hold to the Gemir's Das there. Right, and I guess just Rav Luchti thought it was an intuition that once you make the guy swear, now you have to do your side of the deal, it's just a quid pro quo. But the Adaran, maybe the Rambam holds, no, it's not a quid pro quo. Swearing is not an exchange for an evet. Swearing is just something people talk about. You know, it's just another type of speech. That was just part of your discussion. That wasn't actually considered an exchange. I'll give you an evet if you give me a shvua. That seems to be the machlokas that, you know, we would have thought, and most people seem to assume, pshat in the Gemara, b'nishva, ein yochel lachzor bo. So pshat in the Gemara is that once he swears, there's nothing to talk about. Because forget about everything else. Once he swears, he's giving you something. You have to give him the evet. The Yad Ramah denies that. The last detail that we pointed out was the Ravun, who also holds like the Yad Ramah, the Ravun also holds that even after he swears, you can still retract until the Gemar Din. So they actually, and maybe the Rambam. The Ravun, and he questions this but from a different angle. But the Ravun says he's also not bothered by looking tiny. He doesn't think it's unfair to make the guy swear and then not give him the evid. He just says, look, if he swore Shavuos HaDayanim, if he swore a Shavua, then after a Shavua passes the case. That's the rule of Shavuos HaDayanim. A shvua has a lucky power to pass in the case. So how can he retract after the shvua? You know, if the Bezdin didn't say anything yet, doesn't the shvua say the yadim have the power to pass in the case? And there's no going back after a shvua say the yadim. So
what he ended up what he ended up saying was that. One second. Yeah. The. When he ends up saying the Echanan, if it's just Dorli B'chai Roshcha, which is not a real Shvua, then you can go back to the Gemar Din. If there's an actual Shvua, he shove out the toll, then that's the Machlokes or Meir and the Chachamim, whether you can retract or not. And he says, what are they arguing about? They're arguing that if I say he shoved the toll, if I tell you to make a real Shvua, but the Dayanim didn't, is that called Shvua Zadayanim or not? So that's the Ravon's Chiddush. The Ravon's Chiddush is that even after the Shvua, you can still retract until Bezin Paskins, unless that Shvua was called the Shvua Zadayanim. So it was just Dorli Chai Rosh, that's not a Shvua Zadayanim. What if it was I suggested a Shvua, you agreed to the Shvua, between us we agreed to a Shvua? Says that's actually Machlokas Tanoim between Rameir and the Chachamim. Rameir and the Chachamim don't explicitly argue that Hishav at all, but they implicitly do, because the Gemara makes an equivalence between their argument about Neman Alayav and Neman Alayavicha in Sanhedrin Chavdal, but accepting Psule Dayanim, let's say, and this case of Ritzoncha Hishav at all, right? That was actually the case of the Ritzoncha Hishav at all. that Rameir holds you can retract, we don't Paskin like it. Because he says that's not a Shavuos Adiyanim, it's just made up. The Chacham hold, you can't retract because it's a Chalos Shavuos Adiyanim. The one strange thing that this Ravani pointed out is, according to the Ravani, the Machlokes remain of Chacham is not a general Machlokes about anything you say invested. It's a specific Machlokes about whether a Shavuos that the two of us agree on is called the Chalos Shavuos Adiyanim or not. That would be funny because the whole way Rameir and the Chacham got into the Gemara of Avasra, they said, their argument would be the same here as it is in Sanhedrin by accepting my father as a Dayan. But that's sort of funny. If they were arguing about whether when I accept something is binding or not, then it makes sense with the same machlokas. But if they're arguing about what's called a chalos shvus adayanim over here, then by the nemalai av, they must be arguing about what's called a chalos dayan. Then why would it be? Why would they be lishitasa? You can have one thing about what's a chalos dayan, another thing about what's a chalos shvus adayanim. So that we're looking left to Ian. We don't understand that in the Ravan. I mean, unless you want to say it's just a quali thing as to whether he thinks that Haluyos or Bezdin are flexible or not. But that's a bit of a tarifia. Okay. Next. Then we got on to the sugya of Shtei Kesef. Famous Hachalokes Rav and Shmuel about whether you need Taina Shtei Kesef. The initial Taina has to be Shtei Kesef, but then you can break it up and they'll done for you however you want. That is Shmuel. Or Rav says, no, it means Kfir is Taina Shtei Kesef, Kfir is Shtei Kesef. So what's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? So we had two or three ways to interpret the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. First, we pointed out that it's always hard to prove, but you know, where do Rav and Shmuel get their shitas from? So first, Rav and Shmuel say their shitas. Then the Gemara says the Mishnah is meduyik like Rav, and the Pesukim are meduyik like Shmuel. And obviously, even though the Gemara only goes through one of the ways, Rav in a way being docha the psukim, docha could get out of the psukim, and the summoning or excellent, but small bedocha can get out of the Mishnah. So one thing that's unclear is, did Rav and Shmuel, like neither of them have an opinion? Just Rav saw the Mishnah and was convinced, and Shmuel saw the psukim and was convinced, but they weren't, neither of them really thought there was a svara one way or the other. Or no, they were arguing the svara, and then they found the support from the Mishnah or from the psukim. This is a general question all of Shas. Whenever anyone says anything in Shas, are they saying it because they have a Svara, and then if they can find support, great. And if not, they would have said it anyway. Or are they saying it because they have a Diuk in the text, and then someone else will worry about the Svara and the briskers are invented, in another 1,500 years. This is obviously somewhat a philosophical question, and the real answer is probably, or what's being sort of said, this is valid, that like everything else in life, they're both right. It could be that some sugyas it really sounds like they're driven by the text, some by the svara. Over here, it's hard to tell. There's no way to really prove whether Rav and Shmuel said what they said because of the text or because of the svara. But in any case, we're going to go into the svara. So what is the svara behind their machlokas? If they were arguing about svara, then they have to feel really certain about these svaras. Even if they weren't arguing about svara, it could be still there's a svara behind it, even though that's not what they were thinking. So what's the nekudat samachlokas that they are arguing about? So, I'll say maybe in a slightly different order, but they could be arguing about
modu miktas, or they could be arguing about shtei kesef. So it could be that let's say everyone agrees. They agree that the machaya of shvuas modem miktas is the time. So what's the machlokes? Rav says, or sorry, Shmuel says, the Mechayev has to be Shtei Kesef. Therefore, the Tainet, the Mechayev, has to be Shtei Kesef. Rav says, no. The Shmua has to be on Shtei Kesef. You don't have to swear about anything that's less than Shtei Kesef. So they're arguing. Shmuel says, no, there needs to be an important enough engine of Shtei Kesef driving the Shvua. Rav says, no, no, it's not about the Chi of Shvua. It's about the Shvua itself. We don't implement the Shvua unless you're, we don't bother to implement it. Shmuel says, we don't get to the case where you're Chayiv a Shvua unless there is a Chash of reason behind it. Rav says, no. We don't even if you're Chayiv a Shvua, we're not going to implement that Shvua. We're not going to bother with the Shvua unless the Shvua is about a significant amount of money. So, could be that's what they're arguing about. In which case, if that's what they're arguing about, then there would lechora be a tremendous not doing it. one second. What?
Isn't
no. Rav says kfir shtayim shtei kesef.
Right.
I mean, the kfir is to be shtei kesef. The kfir is what you're swearing on.
Right, but not the shvua itself.
No, the kfir is the shvua. Whatever I deny, that's how much I'm swearing about. Then the question would be, of course, what about other shvuas? Right, where the Mechayiv is something, let's say, completely different. Right, would there be requirements of Shtei Kesef or not? So the Nafkamina would be, Rav would say, if the Shvuah has to be in Shtei Kesef, then all Shvuahs should need Shtei Kesef. And Shmuel would say, no, the Mechayiv of Modem and Mitzach, which the Mechayiv of the Taina, that needs Shtei Kesef. But other Shvuahs, which have a totally different way of getting to the Shvuah, would not need Shtei Kesef. This is actually a big machlokas. You know, the chiddush of this Rav would be, the Nafkamina would be, that Rav would say, and since we possibly like Rav before, we would say that all shvuas need Shtei Kesef. Because it's not about the specific Mechayiv Modem Miktas. It's about the fact that you don't swear on small amounts. Now, what in fact do we find? So, we didn't go through an exhaustive list, but by Shvuas Eid Echad, the Gemara says, Mefurash, one amud later, Dafem on Aleph, that you don't need Shtei Kesef. Although, Tosos right there says, according to Rav, you do need Shtei Kesef. So it makes it a little more complicated. Shouting words, you don't need Shtei Kesef. Tosos says, no, according to Rav, you do need Shtei Kesef, which would make a lot of sense with the Sterech. When it comes to other Shvuas, the big Machlok doesn't say in Shas, the Machlok is Shonim. Shvuas are Shomrim, there's a Machlok is Shonim. Shvuas Nishva Benotel, which are Dravanan, sometimes the plaintiff takes a Shvuah, are also Machlok is Shonim. So, we don't really know what the answer is here, but Lechore, if you took this approach to understand Lechore is Rav and Shmuel, then, like Tosu said, Nafnim and Alfred should be totally in Rav and Shmuel, and since we hold like Rav, that you should require Shtei Kesef for all Shuas, which in fact Tosu does, because Tosu says on. This fits in very well with Tosu. It can also fit in with those people who see Eidach as an exception, because you could say it's a different ballgame entirely. It's certainly with Tosu in Shmuel's.
Who says, according to Shmuel, is Mitzvah a specific? If you need a Chashivas HaTainim,
because Shmuel's Eid Echad is not based on Chashivas HaTainim, it's based on the Eidos. So you don't need Shtei Kesef. And Bechuli. Shmuel's Mem, who takes a Gemara which says, before Shmuel's Eid Echad only needs a Pruta, and says, but actually we were Paskin that needs Shtei Kesef. And in Baba Kama, what is it, Duff? Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Where the Gemara talks about
Hagozel Kler Shavar Pruta V'nishba. You swear on a Pruta. Tosa says, hold on a second. How can anyone ever swear on the Pruta? There's no Heichi tense of swearing on a Pruta. And so he has to say either Kofatz V'nishba, either you're right, he didn't have to swear on a Pruta, he just chose to swear anyway. Or he has to say, yeah, he swore on two Kesef, but he was right about everything but a Pruta. He was only lying about a Pruta. But in any case, that's Tosa's clear assumption, seems to take this derech. The other derech is to say no. The other derech is to say that they all agree that you need shtei kesef in the mechayev. They argue, what's the mechayev of Shmuel's Modim Miktas, right? Shmuel says the mechayev is the taina. And Ram says the mechayev is the kfira. That they're arguing, what's the mechayev shtei kesef? Everyone, you need shtei kesef in whatever the mechayev Modim Miktas is. Shmuel says the taina. Rav says it's the kfira. Then we went back to the end of this year. We said this in a slightly different way. Maybe, you know, we didn't get into this. Like, why would Rav say the mechayev is the kfira? Why would Shmuel say the mechayev is the taina? But we said if we wanted to, I make this a little, we'll say in a slightly different way. We could say this is totally on the famous machlokes from Rashi and Tosfos in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Zayinim and Aleph about why Kofar HaKol is Potter. About why Kofar HaKol is Potter. So the Rashi says, so even though Rashi and Bamatzias have a little more Tosfos, but Rashi and Bamakamah from Zion and Aleph is very clear. Tosfos says, what's Rava's question? Famous question. Ve'imam or Torah mod mitzvah taini yishama. The answer is, ain't on the maze upon him tnei balchobo. So Tosfos says, look, everyone knows that only mod mitzvah is chayev. The question is just, why is not put with the migo that he could have been called for a kol? Or in Rashi, but Matzia's version, because it was Mesha of Eidus who could have gone for a kol. And the answer is, because the Migu Dehaza, Migu Dehaza Lo Amina, Migu means I could have said this better Taina. But I couldn't have said this better Taina, because I didn't have the chutzpah to deny it all. I'm a regular person, only a little chutzpah. I can only deny it partially. I don't have the chutzpah to deny it all, so you can't say I could have said kol for a kol, because I couldn't have psychologically. Migu Dehaza Lo Amina. That's the way Tosus reads it. So Tosus says, basically, what's the difference between Kofar HaKol and Modim Miktas? That's not what Rav is discussing. Rav is discussing why there's no Migo between them. Why every Modim Miktas can't take a Migo of Kofar HaKol. What's the actual difference between Modim Miktas and Kofar HaKol? The actual difference, I told you there's a whole bunch of different formulations, but the actual difference is that Modim Miktas has a Mechayev Shua that Kofar HaKol doesn't. What's the Mechayev Shua that Kofar HaKol doesn't? Modim Miktas has the Mechayev of Hodah. Tosfos actually has different formulations in different places of Shas, what the Mechayev, exactly how that works in, but Matthias Abdalim and Aleph, very important Rashi and Tosfos on a very crucial line, which in the yeshivas they don't point out enough. Tosfos says, because the Hodah makes this a real Choshev claim, says Raglayim Ladavar. It's Raglayim Ladavar. The Hodah is Raglayim Ladavar. Or Tosfos in Subas Dap Yechesim and Aleph says, very fascinating formulation. He says, because it's like Gilgal. Once the Hodah means Amchayim money, so it's like Gilgal Shvur, Amchayim one Shvur, Amchayim another Shvur. So, taking it a little far, if Amchayim money, I'm also Chayim Shvur. So Tosfos basically says the Hodah is the Kim Achayim. So it's partial what the difference between Kofar HaKol and Modim Miktas is. Modim Miktas has a Achayim, has a reason for Shvur. Kofar HaKol is a reason for Shvur. What's Rabbah doing? Why is Rabbah asking questions if it's so obvious? Rabbah is asking a side question, why is there no Migo? That's how Tosfos reads it. And again, Rashi and Bava Kama Daf Gimel sounds a little like Tosfos. But Rashi and Bava Kama Kuf Zayin interprets it completely differently. He says, no, really, everyone should be Chayav Shvuah. Why? Because Rashi on Bava Matzia Daf Dalon Aleph says, Tainu Kfirin Bo, and Rashi says, whatever one guy's towing and the other guy's kofar, they're Chayav Shvuah.
So Rashi says, really, everyone should be chayiv a shvuah, because every taina requires a shvuah. If the guy's taina is, there's a, like we'll learn later on in the Sugya Shvuos, it's nothing. They ate on toy and elokei yeshalav. Every taina has a kernel of truth to it. So if he taina's, then I said that I'm chayiv a shvuah. What's Rava talking about? Rava's talking about, so why is a kofra kol chayiv? Sorry, why is modern mitzvah chayiv and a kofra kol potter? Everyone should be chayiv. Rather than what's the essential distinction between modem mix and the kofar kol? Everyone should be chayiv. There's always a taina. And Rava's answer is, though, by modem mitzvahs, there's a taina. I'm chayiv shvuah. You tainted me. By kofar kol, you have the taina, but I have a counterproof of haza. What does that mean? Just the rule of the contrapositive. If I was lying, I wouldn't have the chutzpah to deny it all. Therefore, if I deny it all, I'm not lying. Right? It's a proof. It's a proof in psychology. I couldn't have denied it all. I can't lie about everything. Therefore, if I deny everything, I must be telling the truth. So the one hand, you have a claim of in antonio king Yeshua. If you time, you must be telling the truth. But on the other hand, I have a proof. What do you mean? If I deny it all, I must be telling the truth. So I get out of the chayiv shvuah because of my evidence that I couldn't be meis. It's a totally different way of understanding. What's going on. Just to summarize, this is a very, very good point. I assume we'll come back to it many, many, many times, and obviously there's a lot more detail. But the basic question is, why is Moda B'miktas Chayev? Why is Kofra Hakol Potter? Tosfos and pretty much everyone else. Rashi, why is Moda B'miktas Chayev? Because the Hoda'a leads to a Chiyav. Where Rashi says, every Taina is Mechayev. So why is Kofra called Potter? According to Tosos, because there's no Mechayev at all. According to Rashi, because the Nitan has a defense of Ein Adam Meiz Panav Bitznei Balchobah. That you're right, every kofar goes really chayiv a shvuah, but then he gets out of the shvuah by saying, I can prove to you that I'm telling the truth, so I wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie. This comes across in Rashi and Tosfos Baba Kama Dafkav Zayin and Aleph, the famous machlokes, what about a kofar a kol who could have been meis? A kofar a kol who could have been meis? Tosfos says very clearly, Potter. What do you mean? He's a kofar kol. What's the hatam in mechayev him? Well, Rashi says, chayev shvuah. That's the machlokas. This is actually what they argue about in Baba Kama Kof Zayin Amud Aleph, where it all comes out. They're arguing about precisely this case, that how to interpret the Gemara. Tosfos says, what do you mean, kofar kol is always putter? Who cares? We only brought in Ha'aza to understand the migu of the modem mikta. Rashi says, what do you mean, kofar kol is chayiv, unless he has a defensive, I wouldn't have been meis. If there would be a kofar kol who could have been meis, then he's chayiv. What's Rashi's example? Here's where it gets a little more complicated, because Rashi's example is also based on another assumption, which is, why am I not meis? It's coincidental, I believe, that Rashi and Tosfos have these two machlokas. Tosfos says, I'm not meis because I can't lie to someone who knows that I'm lying. Rashi says, I'm not meis because I can't lie to someone who did me a favor and lent me money when I was down and out. So Rashi says, but if the guy just gave me a bag of gold to watch, from a shomer chinam, then I can be meis. He didn't do me a favor, I did him a favor. So I can be meis. If I can be meis, a kofar kol is chayiv shvuah. Therefore, if Stam, you say you gave me a bag of gold to watch, and I say no, Rashi would say I'm chayiv shvuah. So I'm a kofar kol, and I don't have a defense. Well, Tosfos say that's ridiculous. Of course you're positive from a shvuah. No, having you chayiv in the first place. this gets into the question of what was Rab explaining when he talked about Einod Amir's Panav? Tos says the side point. Why we don't say Migu? Well, Rash says no. He's explaining why Kofra Kol is Pater and Moda Mitzas is Chayiv. He's explaining the whole point. And this comes to a head. Rav Aaron didn't quote this.
But again, I always like to quote this.
With the Rashi Tosos Makurish Gemara Machlokas in Matia Dalet Amin Aleph, one blot after Rava, where the Gemara says, you know who's Chayiv Shvuah? It's a Tainu Kfira. What does that mean? Rashi says, Zetoin V'Zekofer Chayiv Shvuah. Meaning everyone's Chayiv Shvuah. Tosa says, no, that's not true. Not everyone who has a Tainu is Chayiv Shvuah. Rather, Tosa says, it means a Tainu with Raglayim Ledover of Hodah, that's what's Chayiv Shvuah. When it's a Hodah, it leads to us believing he's telling the truth. So Lemaisa, that's Marcel Aliski, Taino Ukfira, came by him. Rashi says, yeah, every time is a Chayiv Shvuah. Why does she tell him Baba Kam Dav Kav Zayin? Tos says, no, what do you mean? What they meant by taina is a taina with a proof behind it, like a hodah. Or not a proof, but at least not. Anyway, how does this all tie into us? How this all ties into us is, what's the mechayiv lemaisa? Maybe Shmuel is like Rashi. The mechayiv is the taina, right? Every taina mechayiv shvuah, unless you have a counterclaim, a defense of, I wouldn't have been mazed. So the time needs to be shtei kesef. The hodah is not important here. The hodah nekfir is not relevant. That's just why you care that the hibya moda mixas. Oh, to take away his defense, they know the maze punim. But the ikaron, the taina is makayiv. Well, Rav is like Tosos. Rav says, no, the taina is not makayiv anything. It's the hodah that's driving the chiyuv. Now, of course, you don't require a hodah shtei kesef. So I think what he would say is, the taina is worthless. You think a taina makes judge, makes dayanim want to put a shvuah on someone? No. Talk is cheap. Everyone can taina whatever, I can taina the Brooklyn Bridge if I want. A taina doesn't mean anything. The machayiv is the hodah or the kfira in the context of hodah. The machayiv is the kfira in the context of hodah. Therefore, if it's not the taina, but the kfira in the context of hodah that's machayev, that maybe means shtei kesef in a kfira. I need a kfira shtei kesef in the context of hodah. So machayev is, you see, we get to where we had in the first formulation, just here we explained a little better, even though we have to make a subtle, is the kfira in the context of hodah. But it really works out, because according to Rashi's derech, the kfira and the hodah are not important at all. Once you said the taina was chayev. The only reason I had to be molded mixes and cover mixes is to take away my counterclaim, my defense. But the chi was always there. So the chi was there before I responded. As soon as you timed it, the chi was there. It's just if I responded one way, I could have defended myself. If I didn't go for a call. According to Tosos, the chi doesn't exist until I split it up into kfira and hodah. There's no havamina that I, judges don't even care about me until I split it up into kfira and hodah. Okay, so it's the splitting up the kfir and hodah that's mechayiv me. Yes, you could have said you need hodah shtei kesef. You could also have said you need kfir shtei kesef. Okay, that is what we said about the machlokes Rav Shmuel about shtei kesef. Very, very yisodos divinyanim, which of course we'll see again and again. Then we pointed out that for now we're skipping the whole inyan here of what's considered min hataina, what's not min hataina, as important as that is, and sort of let it seem tantalizingly throughout. The important question of how do you define min exactly? Is min defined by form, by function, by the formal chalav shem? Okay, we'll come back to this. The last thing we discussed, which is really we're going to continue next time, is yotzev kelim lemashin. Right, so there's a din, kesef o kelim. Right, now we don't know, we didn't summarize all the sheets of what the gersin gemara and then what the perishing gemara is. We know what ma kelim shnayim av kesef shnayim means. That's pretty clear. That's where you get shtei kesef. Kelim is plural. So kesef, even though it's not plural, or kesef is actually ambiguous, because kesef can also be ksatem, we take it as a plural in each day kesef. What is the other half? Kesef davar chashev or akelim davar chashev, what does that mean? Is a little unclear, but we have one practical result in daf mem on base. The Gemara says, if I taina, you owe me two machten, two needles, and you go for one and mow the one, even though obviously there's not shtei kesef in anything here, no shita, the whole things aren't worth a fraction of the kesef, but you're chayev kach yotu kelim mashim, that's why it says kesef o kelim. But it said kesef, we would have known that it didn't have to be money, that it could also be wheat or grapes or lawnmowers. Why'd it have to say kelim? Because even though the kli is not shtei kesef. So first of all, the first question is that Gemara true? I mean, obviously, it's true in that Gemara, but do we pass like that Gemara? So most Rishonim assume that, of course, in the first Gemara, Shmuel says enough memo days, obviously, Kalim, even if they're not Shnei Kesef, have importance. Rashi, in his Girsa and interpretation of our Gemara, says, Ma Kesef Dover Choshev, Ach Kalim Dover Choshev, says just like, that's his shot in this drasha, he says, just like, what I meant to say is Rashi says within the girsa of Ma Kesef Dover, which he in the end does, but that he interprets the girsa of Ma Kesef Dover Choshev, Av Kelim Dover Choshev to mean the Kelim Nitav Shei Kesef to be arguing on Shmuel. So Rashi says there is one girsa argument that argues on Shmuel, but Pashas we accept Shmuel. Either we don't think that's the right girsa, or if that is the right girsa, we don't think that's what it means. Let's assume we agree like Shmuel. You can have two needles, it doesn't need to be Shtei Kesef. The interesting question is, Tenech doesn't need to be Shtei Kesef, but doesn't need to be a Shavar Pruta or not. Like, one thing we're saying, Mashein, Mashein, it doesn't matter if they're each with a 50th of a Pruta, if I tie in two, Caleb and you admit one and deny one, you're Chayav Shvua. Or no, like Shami says, if Pashas and Machten are worth a Pruta, Pashas they're not worth Shtei Kesef, if Pashas they are worth a Pruta. So we're saying, well, obviously they're worth a Pruta, everything has to be worth a Pruta. I'm just telling you, even though they're not worth Shtei Kesef, you're still Chayav Shvua. So that is a big machlokes Rishonim. Tosfos deals with it already right here. Right? Tosfos goes back and forth about this, right? At first, Tosfos thinks At first, he thinks even if it's not a Shavar Pruta, you're chayev. And then later on, he changes his mind and says, you're only chayev if it's a Shavar Pruta. Likewise, the Yerushalmi says you're only chayiv to Shavar Pruta, but the Rosh Bukos and the Gaona that you're chayiv, it's not a Shavar Pruta. So the Bengal folks, Rishonim, you can go back to the Yerushalmi, and the Gaonim, whether or not you need a Shavar Pruta or not. So let's figure out what the Svaras are. So, if you say, Amach, that you always need Shavar Pruta, that makes a lot of sense. Shavar Pruta is the minimum for Mamu. Less than that is just not a monetary issue, so happy to talk about a Shavar. You could say it. Kli as chashivas, even though it's not shtei kesef, because something less than shtei kesef is still in the realm of mammon. But here it's not in the realm of mammon at all. So that's the svara of the Yerushalmi and the end of Tosfos. Says, look, less than shavar pruta is not mammon, nothing to it, doesn't exist. What's the svara of the Gaonim and the Rash, but everyone who says that a kli, your chayvon, makes this even if it's less than a pruta? So I've listened to suggest that there are two different ways to formulate it. Tosfos sounds like he's looking at it saying, really, a kli does have to be shavar pruta, but every kli has a hidden shavar pruta in it. Why? Because you could use it to do a lot of work and make a shavar pruta, even though this needle is only worth half a pruta. But you could sew something that'll be worth a pruta, right? If you think about it, in the rules of economics, right? This is the whole thing in Kiddush Nafches. The price of something is not determined by how useful it is to me. It's determined by how useful it is to everyone intersecting with the line of how much it costs to produce it. So just because a needle costs less than a pruta, that's because they're very cheap to produce. But if you're asking how useful it is to me, it's worth more than a pruta. To the person who owns it, just the factory is less than a pruta. But the person who owns it, of course, worth more than a pruta. Why? Because I can use it to sew and make a lot of money and make begadim and make all kinds of things. So of course it's worth more than a pruta. So that's one approach is that really be Quran kli doesn't need to be shavar pruta, but every kli is a hidden shavar pruta. The other approach, which maybe the Rashba sounds a little more like, is that no, a kli doesn't need to be shavar pruta because it's a different category entirely. Non-kalim, which don't have function, are measured by value. Kalim, which have function, are measured by function. A non-kli is only significant if it has value. But a kli is significant even without value, because it has function. And function is significant in and of itself. What is the? Not kli. So again, what do we say? First we have the shita that macha need shavar pruta. That's the Mishapni, etc. Then there's the shita that on the Rashba, macha even pachos mi shavar pruta is chaya. And we said why? Either because it has the hidden shavar pruta, or because it's a different standard only by non-functional items do you measure by value. By functional items, you measure by function, and it has a function. The nafkamina would be, what about a kli that didn't have a hidden shavar pruta? What about a kli that you can't use for work? Not every kli can you use for work. Let's say a picture. You can look at it as a function, but you can't use it for work. So it could very well be that if you took Tosafot formulation that, and let's say it was worth less than a pruta, that it was only chayek that had a hidden shavar pruta. This doesn't have a hidden shavar pruta. But if you say it has a function that's its own track of importance, then it still has a function. That would be the nafkamina.
What would be the rule by kedushin?
By kedushin is a very fascinating question, which we're going to come back to next time. That was the Rambam where Lutzi was looking for at the end. The round of looks that he's looking at the end in Kedushin is actually not very exciting. He just said what the Gemara said, that a Kli Chos Shavruta doesn't work for Kedushin. What was exciting was the contrast of that to the Rambam in other places where he says Kli Chos Shavruta does work, and the very, very strange sheet of the Rashba. Basically, everyone in the entire world says a Kli Chos Shavruta doesn't work for Kedushin. Why? Because I'm a poorest Gemara in Kedushin, not Gimel. That's why Chalipin doesn't work, because Chalipin could be a Kli Chos Shavruta, so the whole Chalipin doesn't work. So, I mean, it's like so posh that a klipas mishav pruta doesn't work. That they don't even need to explain that. But the Rashba right here in our second Taflam Testament case actually passing that a klipas mishav pruta does work for Kedushin, which is, Misvar is very fascinating and needs a lot of explaining in terms of how he gets out of the Gemara Kedushin up Gimel. After all the explaining, it's still, I'm probably still not going to convince you, but, suffice to say he's the Rashba, so he has a way to get out of it, but not a pretty way. But that's the machlokas. But kedushin may be different because of exactly what it says in daf gimel. Ishlo machin nashi pachri yom pruta. Whatever exactly that means, ayin in the rishonim there, and of course the whole theme of the Rambam and Perkei helps the isha should be brought in here as well. You just take a glance for 3 seconds at the Rambam and Perkei of kedushin of the isha, and you'll notice the theme. No. Maybe. Anyway, the last thing we've looked at said was that every once in a while there's something which he thinks it would make a lot of sense, but none of the Rishonim say. So he's very disappointed, but what can he do? One of the things that he thought perhaps he could say, there are two shitas. Either a kli lesser shav pruta counts for modem mikzas, or it doesn't count for modem mikzas. He thought it would make a lot of sense to say it depends which half you're talking about. Maybe a kli lesser shav pruta counts if that's the hodah, but doesn't count against the kfira. Maybe the kfira needs to be shavar pruta, but the hodah can be a kli pachos to be shavar pruta. Why? Because the kfira is what the fight is about. The fight needs to be about money. But the hodah is just a tznai. The tznai just needs something of importance. Even a kli pachos to be shavar pruta. So he looked to all the Rishonim, wondering if anyone would say that, and so far he didn't find anyone. Maybe he should look through all the Achronim. The Rishonim don't say something. Some Achron always says it. But okay. What? Okay, but I can say that, but looks he can't. Yeah, perhaps. Anyway, but that's just a speculation at this point, of course, unless someone wants to look through all the Achronim until they find someone who says it.
All right.
Baruch, see ya.